College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Today is National Weather Person's Day. Honors all individuals working in meteorology, weather forecasting, and broadcasting meteorology. That include us, Ted, National Weather Person's Day. It also recognizes volunteer storm spotters, observers, and others who work in the weather field. Well, we've done a bit of that over the years.
Sure have.
A little severe weather spotting, a little bit of anchoring and reporting about it. And by the way, coincidentally, or not coincidentally, but this past year, KNSS was honored with the Kansas Association of Broadcasters Best Severe Weather Coverage in the state.
How about that?
Second year in a row.
We're very proud of that.
So I guess we're national weather persons, are we?
Well, I don't know about national.
Okay.
But
we are weather persons, so.
Well,
it is
just a point. Yeah, if weather gets bad, you better tune into KNSS.
You know,
keep you up to date.
We've worked with meteorologists over the year, TV meteorologists, and they come in and they help us, educate us, and so forth. So we've been through a lot of classes, been through training, and then when the hits the fan in the middle of the night, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
We got to tell you about it, and we thank you all for tuning us in at those times. The worst part about spotting weather, for me, I don't know about you, I'll speak for me, but if you go out at night, there's not a whole lot you can see.
Once you go out after dark, it's not easy to get a hold on things.
You learn the tricks. You learn to look fast when the lightning pops.
Yep, that's about it. That's all you can do.
And pay attention to what's going on around you. If those trees are bending over, you got some wind. If that old car starts rocking, say, oh, here comes the wind. Anyway, we're working now with Ronnell Williams this morning. We'll talk with him in just a few minutes. He can celebrate. Maybe they're going to have a big cake for him over there.
And a local business update from the Wichita Business Journal. The Wichita City Council unanimously denying an amended version of the Crown Uptown Theater owner's occupancy request, which would change the maximum limit from about 2,000 people to a number to be determined by the fire department. In the near term, that vote ends a months-long attempt by the theater's owner to increase the building's occupancy. Otherwise, he could potentially sell it or tear it down. Council District 1 council member Brandon Johnson, whose district encompasses the College Hill Theater in East Wichita, said that he had a number of concerns with the owner's request. As Johnson said at the meeting yesterday, quote, the proposed amendment would allow a more intense use and would have a detrimental impact on neighboring properties. And those impacts also include parking and congestion in the area.
The Charles Koch Foundation, the D.C. area-based nonprofit founded by Wichita businessman Charles Koch, has partnered on an initiative to help mid-sized local companies attract and retain employees. A grant from the Charles Koch Foundation will support up to 15 companies to participate in the Kansas Leadership Center's Workforce Innovators Program, according to a news release from the KLC. Through the partnership, 3 to 5 employees from the mid-sized companies will be able to learn skills to lead change in their organizations, create a culture of innovation, and leverage a more energized workforce. KLC President and CEO Kay Monk Morgan said, and the Workforce Innovators Program targets companies with between 200 and 1,000 employees, as well as small companies that anticipate growth to that size in the next 2 to 3 years. And that's local business news this morning from the Wichita Business Journal, Stephen 10 in the morning. All right, Ted, today is National Girls and Women in Sports Day. Athletics playing an important role in girls' lives. Besides helping to establish a routine for a healthy, active lifestyle, sports build, of course, confidence, leadership skills, the ability to work with a team, and how to get yourself in shape with a lot of sweating and running. Very little organized sports for women and girls, for us baby boomers, folks my age. I can't remember any at all. Then And Shelly, of course, my wife, never participated in. She said she did play volleyball. She did that.
Oh, there you go.
But not competitively, you know, just in gym class or whatever. She and I would, a few years ago, at the church we were going, neighborhood church we were going to, they had co-ed volleyball going on. So we signed up, and we got to play one with her. Just first time Shelly and I ever done anything like that. It was kind of fun. A good way to socialize and so forth. Now, when you were in school, of course, a generation behind, they started to have organized inter-school sports, right?
For sure women. Did. Oh, yeah.
And it became a big deal. I know when I was at KEYN in the 70s, they were starting that out and getting it going. And we had a basketball team, the station basketball team, and we'd go out and we would play town teams. We played the girls' town teams. Of course, they just beat the heck out of us. Every
good.
Time.
They should, as they well were, they should.
They were already way ahead of us. We just did it for fun and maybe to help them raise some money or whatever. So it was fun. And then my daughter came along and she did, not in school, but she did some the basketball down at the Y and stuff like that. So that's the way she competed. And now my granddaughters, all of them have been in soccer, basketball, you name it. So anyway, we are celebrating Women in Athletics Day today. I think it's a great idea. Anything special going on? I know you've got a special. Did you got a special PA job going on tonight, Ted?
I'm the guest public address announcer tonight for Shocker Women's Basketball at Coke right. Arena.
Have you done
last scheduled appearance for the women this season?
For this season, all right. Well, good for you.
So I'll be looking forward to that tonight.
All right. Just another precaution for you if you're heading out the door and you're going to drive around the city anywhere this morning. We've got some slick roadways out there, and folks have been running into each other. We've had, I think, at least one accident I copied earlier this morning where somebody was seriously hurt. There have been people injured, a lot of rollover accidents. So take it easy out there because the roadways are slick this morning, and we're having accidents. I can't envision. I just looked out the window a while ago. It's misty and foggy. I can't imagine anybody driving without their lights on, but I'll bet there are a few people doing that this morning.
Well, you can't imagine it, but if you're looking at those...
Are you seeing it on there? Which way?
Yeah, if you're looking at the traffic cameras, you can see it.
Not one out of eight, right? I think it's about what I usually see.
Just keep your headlights on.
Headlights on. Pay attention. Now we're talking the president wanting to reorganize or get rid of USAID, a global organization that distributes money and goods globally for the USA. And to talk about it this morning, Fox News Radio's Jonathan Savage. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning, Steve.
AID goes back to John Kennedy, President Kennedy, and it was during the Cold War, and this was our way of going into nations that were trying to be influenced by the communists, the Chinese, and the Russians. Our way of going in there and influence them by giving them some much-needed aid. Tell us about it.
Yes, soft power is how it's described.
Soft power.
You can go into a country, you can do good works, you can spread the word of your world vision, if you like, promote democracy, and generate goodwill for your country and hopefully some back-scratching in return. And of course, many people just like the idea of distributing access to clean water, HIV and AIDS treatments, anti-corruption work, women's health, all these sort of things, anti-malaria. So $72 billion is how much US aid distributed in 2023. But now the Trump administration has decided they don't like US aid. They don't want it to be separate from their vision of America first. And they want to incorporate its work into the State Department. In doing so, they have put on leave all directly hired employees around the world, recalling thousands of personnel working overseas. The workforce totals more than 10,000, so this is quite a big deal.
Is there a word that the AID is corrupt, that it's mismanaged, all of those things?
There's, I think, two things about this, about why the Trump administration wants to change things. Firstly, I think there is some skepticism among some of Donald Trump's advisors about the value of foreign aid, of spending all this money. But secondly, Elon Musk has sent out tweets calling USAID a criminal organization, although there's no evidence for that, calling USAID employees an arm of radical left globalists. President Trump says the agency is run by radical lunatics. And they've pointed to various ways that the agency has spent smaller amounts of money carrying on work they don't think is necessarily what the agency should be doing.
All right. So where does Congress come in all this? Are there any laws to protect AID from this kind of thing?
Well, there are questions about whether the Trump administration really can do this legally. And we've already seen some of Donald Trump's early policies being challenged in the courts, and we may well see this again. In terms of Congress, it's probably worth mentioning that there is general bipartisan support for the international aid budget, and there has been for many years. Just last year, 80% of the House of Representatives, many of them, of course, Republican, rejected an amendment to eliminate foreign aid from the 2025 budget. So this is going to be controversial, depending on exactly what the Trump administration's plan is for international aid in the future.
All right. Thanks for being with us, as always, Jonathan. We appreciate it. Fox News Radio's Jonathan Savage with Steve and Ted in the Morning here on KNSS. And Jonathan, that was good. He told me some things I didn't know, and I hope he shared some information that maybe you didn't know about AID and what it's all about.